Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Nerdgasm Talk podcast is brought to you by Spaces Philly. If you love podcasts, go to spacesphilly.com where you can check out Lulu and Pop, Both Sides, Turntables, Jump Thoughts, Super Tongue, and the Nerd Coalition's very own No Gimmicks Needed. Visit spacesphilly.com today. And now, feel the Nerdgasm. Okay. I got the note. And welcome back to the Nerdgasm Talk Podcast. I am your host, Wagon Zero, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pal. Wow. We are here with the man with the plan, if you need him, Yo Shazam, the host of the No Gimmicks Needed Podcast and the co-host of the Nerdgasm Talk Podcast, Mr. A&E.
What's going on, everybody?
I hope you are feeling well. How you feeling?
Bro, we just had a good laugh before we got up on air.
Yep.
It was great. And I got a little caught in the throat, but we good though.
Yeah,
and the Sixers won tonight, so I'm good. So they about to bring them brooms out.
I hope so. Oh yeah, it is playoff season, and I know you're a basketball fan. So how's that going?
Playoffs are going great right now. The Sixers are up 3-0 on the Wizards.
Oh,
so hopefully they sweep them out by Monday. They just move on to the next round, and I don't know what's going on with the Knicks, but thank you. There we go. But it's been fun. It's been a fun watch. Y'all basketball fans out there.
I heard something about Clippers. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, they are struggling against Luka Doncic and the Mavericks right now.
Gotcha. You sure
Luka leads them? I'm trying to clear my thumb. My wife bought me something to drink.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I was like, I'm making sure you're not coughing out a lung over there. But yeah,
it'll probably help with my weight loss.
We got a good amount to talk about on this podcast episode today. We got the Horizon Zero Dawn event. We got the Sonic event. We got the movie experiences of not only Army of the Dead, but Spiral. But first, let's give our condolences to Paul Mooney. Paul Mooney passed away. Oh my goodness, my computer just froze. hold on. Paul Mooney just passed. Okay, here we go. May 19th, 2021. Now, you probably have more of a relationship with Paul Mooney than I do. I discovered mm-hmm. him because I had a phase where I would watch a lot of stand-up comedies. Mm-hmm. And one of them I watched was Richard Pryor's.
And Richard Pryor show.
Yeah, he wrote a lot for Richard Pryor. So that's how I discovered Paul Mooney. I'm not sure what's your experience with him.
Well, yeah, I experienced Paul Mooney in the early years also with the Richard Pryor show. Which I remember he was very young back then. Him and John Witherspoon.
Yeah.
I remember back then from the Richard Pryor show. And then, of course, Paul Mooney had a certain kind of comedy where he was raw, serious, and he didn't bend to any kind of commercial needs. That's not who he was. And then he got a career resurgence when he was on Chappelle's show.
Right, right.
Because everybody remembers him at the Chappelle show. And, you know, for the Nicodemus skits and stuff like that. He was a very decent comedian. Now, once again, is he in my top as favorite comedians? No, he's not. But I do recognize, you know, an icon and a legend when I see one.
Right. Same thing with me. I wouldn't put him in my top for comedians, but he was great. He was definitely funny. It was one story I heard. He was saying he said a kid was going around his parents and he was like, "Hey mom, look, I'm black." And he got smacked by his mom and he was like, the white boy got smacked by his mom and was like, "Go tell your father what you did." He went to his father, "Hey dad, I'm black." He got smacked by his dad and he was like, "Go tell your grandfather what you did." He went to his grandfather, "Hey grandfather, I'm black." He got smacked by them. And then he went back to his mom and his mom said, "What did you learn?" And he was like, "Look, I only been black for 5 minutes, and I can't stand you white people." I was like, "That's funny. That is funny." But I really liked this comedy. He had it was one of those feel good comedies that got on everybody, so everybody's laughing, no matter who you are. It was like no one's safe type of battleground.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people probably thought that Paul Mooney could have been bigger than who he was because he was being called for deals in movies and hosts and stuff all around the globe. But he did not ever turn away from who he truly was, and I admire him for that. It's like, you know, he could have. You hear the story so many times of how these black comedians could be so much bigger, or they have been so much bigger, or they're given that Hollywood treatment, and they realize that this is not. They don't want to dance for the white man, basically.
Right.
And you know, I respect his stance. Like I said, he became a legend on his own merit, on his own way. And that's one thing I can, you know, respect a lot about Paul Mooney, and especially what he had brought to the table in terms of his comedy, which I think a lot of people like him and Red Fox and Richard Pryor and comedians from back in the day have not necessarily done. And it's unfortunately, it's going to be a generation out there that's only going to remember Paul Mooney for Chappelle Show, opposed to all the other great work that he has done before that. Because me personally, now even though he's not in my top favorite comedians, I think he's funnier than Richard Pryor, and that's in my personal opinion.
I think he is too. I agree.
Because I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but in my personal opinion, I think Richard Pryor is slightly overrated.
I don't have enough information to argue that.
Yeah, now, like I said, I know a lot of people are not going to agree with me on that one and probably wish death on me, but you know, in my personal opinion, I found Paul Mooney way funnier than Richard Pryor, and I do think that Richard Pryor at times is slightly overrated.
I mean, that's fair.
I go back and sometimes Richard Pryor stuff just doesn't age well for me. And I'm like, and sometimes I watch, I'm like, I'm not laughing at this, but there is a lot of stuff that Paul Mooney has done, whether he just be in the juke joints, or whether he be, you know, in a crowd of 20 people or 100 people, or doing a skit on, you know, Chappelle Show, whatever the case may be. I constantly find myself, you know, into what he's saying and laughing, especially when it comes to about being black and loving your blackness and all that other stuff like that, because that's one thing he has fought for, performed for, and make sure everybody knows about.
Right. So rest in power to him. I hope his family's okay in this time of need. It's definitely a really hard time to say that. But that's not...
I'm also sorry for people out there because we definitely get on this kind of late because we didn't complete the podcast last week. That's what we was going to talk about last week, but obviously we couldn't get the podcast done.
Yeah, we did have a celebration of life. Oh God, that was the wrong thing to say. We were celebrating a birthday, so
we wanted
to take a break at least.
Yeah, yes, my daughter turned two, and we were very happy to see that. And there was this great also to have all our friends come back, so that's why, you know, it had to wait a week.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you out there, you know, supporting that. So I appreciate all that.
Yes. However, another death did happen that week. On May 6, 2021, Kentaro, I'm going to mess up his last name, but the author of the manga Berserk passed away.
You going to mess up a Japanese name? I'm shocked.
Oh, it. Japanese names are not, like, I was actually talking to someone about this, like, people get mad at you for saying the Japanese wrong. It's like, hey, how dare you say a word that's in a different language that is not your native speaking language wrong? Like, oh, I'm sorry. But I don't want to mess up his last name. I don't want to disrespect him. The author of Bleach, Kentaro, has passed away. The author of Berserk, not Bleach. Now, Berserk is very influential. I'm not sure if you know how influential it is, but a lot of things now, what's inspired, Cloud having the Buster Sword in Final Fantasy VII, inspired by Berserk. Games like Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne, all it's inspired by Berserk. Usually anything with a giant big Buster Sword, inspired by Berserk. Devil May Cry, Dragon's Dogma, the hit series Chainsaw Man, Blue Exorcist. A lot of things were inspired by Berserk. And it was one of those series where it was like, oh, this is never going to end because the author was taking a lot of breaks due to his health. And now it's like, it was always a meme, but now it's kind of heartbreaking now that we're not going to get the end of the story. And it was a very dark story. A very dark story. It was nothing. There was no, like, there's no way Disney could take this and make it brighter in any type of way, type of dark. But yeah, he passed away, so rest in peace to him as well. And another thing of the small topics, we're probably both feeling the same way about this, but Kraven the Hunter has been cast by Aaron Taylor Thompson. Did I get his name right?
Aaron
Taylor Johnson. Yes, has been cast by that. And most of you guys know him for Kick-Ass or Quicksilver from Age of Ultron. I don't know what Sony is doing. At this point, I'm just like, all right, just do what you want. Just do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
They know for sure. They probably saw WandaVision, and it was like, hey, is Aaron Taylor Johnson available? Hey, let's get him on the phone since he's not going to be in that show. Hey, you want to play Kraven? And
look, why did anybody think that this was okay?
It's Sony. So when Sony doesn't have directions or someone telling them things are right, they do whatever they want when it comes to the movie department. And we've seen this time after time after time. There was no need to make a Spider-Man verse without Spider-Man at all. But somehow they are doing it.
I don't mind the villain approach from Sony. I don't mind villain movies. I'm talking about Aaron Taylor Johnson as Kraven the Hunter. One of the most well looked at and personable villains that Spider-Man actually has. Actually unique is probably the word I'm more looking for.
Right.
And that doesn't describe Aaron Taylor Johnson at all. There's nothing new. First of all, I'm tired of everybody saying, well, he was a Kick-Ass. I'm like, the character of Kick-Ass is just boring also. It's just that, you know, it's just the situation that he's in that made the movie good and the combo decent. But him personally is just like the charisma he has. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, a sunny side up egg. You know, you never know which way it's going to go.
Right.
You know, and there's nothing about any movie that he's in that I'm like, yo, he killed it. If I say, if you remember his role from Godzilla, you'd be like, oh shit, he was in Godzilla?
Right. I would say
hey, you know, how'd you feel about Quicksilver? Well, the Fox Quicksilver was better, and he got a role on WandaVision.
Yep.
So there you have it. And it's like Kick-Ass was like, okay, where's Kick-Ass 1 and Kick-Ass 2? What happened? He got his ass kicked. So,
and Kick-Ass 1 was way better than Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, it was. And I'm like, I there's no way ever I thought he would be cast as Kraven of all people. To get to play Kraven the Hunter, that's who y'all pick?
I'm also, as we're talking about this, it's like I'm trying to shuffle in my head, who would I want to play as Kraven? The only person that will really that's coming to mind off of like just the top of my head is Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa, because he has the look down.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not going to like his personality. Because first of all, I'm older than Aaron Taylor Johnson. And I'm like, Kraven the Hunter is a grown man when I look at him. Like, he's a grown ass. Like, it's almost like I need Sean Connery almost grown, you know what I'm saying, to play Kraven. You know, like, that's the kind of look I'm looking for, or you know, somebody with that, you know, distinguished mustache in a way. Right. Not this kid. Like, I don't want them to turn Kraven into a teenager also. I'm like, no. It just don't, maybe it's just me because I have not, the movies I've seen of him, because it's different from what I talk about, who's the new Batman now?
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson.
Well, we've seen his acting chops. It's like, okay, he does have skill. Whereas Aaron Taylor Johnson is like, he was never a highlight in a movie that we've seen.
No, not at all. There's nothing. Even me looking at his IMDb, he look at his movies right now. I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, nothing rings a bell. And then I saw, I'm just like, this is just not it, sir. This is not it at all. He was in Tenet, and I ain't even watched Tenet.
Wait, Aaron Taylor Johnson was in Tenet?
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't see Tenet, but I was like, oh. I was like, I thought you got confused. I was like, we were just talking about Robert Pattinson.
and it's Kraven the Hunter's coming out 2023. You know what? I'm like, I just rather see Morbius and call it a day. But look,
I've been against this whole Sony villainverse from the gate, so I just don't want this to happen.
Venom, let there be Carnage, looks actually like it's going to be dope.
Carnage looks okay. Carnage actually looks good. I'll give it that, like I said. Other than that, I could care less about that movie. I could really care less about that movie. But, sure. Sony, just do it, I guess. I mean, like, I really have nothing to say to them about it. But yes, on to the next topic. We had a lot of gaming news that hit us this week. And so close to E3, because E3 is happening in about 2 weeks.
So okay, I was wondering. So my birthday weekend.
Yeah, around your birthday weekend is when E3 is gonna happen. You know what? And I think that's also the weekend I get my second shot. So ooh. It will be crazy if I just get too sick for work and we'll be able to watch E3. But hey, you know, we'll see. But
oh, you can join the club being fully vaccinated.
Yes, finally. But yeah, I heard that second dose got hands. But yeah, let's talk.
I heard it got hands if you haven't had it before.
Hey, bro, you built different.
So, right? Bro, hey. When COVID came to my house, it slapped me down and dog walked me for 2 weeks. Hey,
but,
okay,
but you got back up. That's what's important.
Exactly. So I'm saying. So after my second shot, I was cool. I barely hit a fever past 99.
Oh, nice.
So it was just like, okay, it was cool. Then everybody I talked to that never had COVID before, mm-hmm. It was like, yo, that second shot kicked my ass. But then the people I have talked to that have COVID before, it was just like, it wasn't nothing.
It was like, so, this is Tuesday.
Yeah, so go do my estimates. It seems like the people who never experienced COVID before, it hits them a little bit harder. They'll be fine still, but it hits them a little bit harder. So I guess you never experienced COVID before, right?
No.
So it's probably going to slap me.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm ready for it. I've been prepared for it. But let's, I'm ready for it. Let's go. I'll talk about the game I would say I'll probably be least interested in. Far Cry 6 is actually the game I'm least interested in. It's a very pretty game. They showed a gameplay trailer for it. The coolest thing is the setting, I would say. Mm-hmm. The setting is taking place, I think, in Mexico this time around. Far Cry is always, like, you know, going somewhere. And I just really like the whole the atmosphere. And we're playing as a woman protagonist, so I'm very happy about that, you know. It's nice that we got some representation going on, especially for the Latino community.
Exactly.
And that's just great. Latino, Hispanic, Mexican, I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong, but yeah. It's nice that we're getting some representation from that. Apparently, it's a pet alligator that you can come and attack now. And I'm just like, oh my God. The one thing I did notice about this trailer is that the lip sync was very off for the characters. Oh. And that's just me. Now, the trailer was in 30 frames per second. So it could just be me watching that trailer in 30 frames per second. But, so I feel like this is a discussion for another day. Any first-person game is unacceptable to be less than 60 frames per second within the next generation. But that's another conversation for me. So far, the game has done nothing to really interest me. None of the Far Cry's has done anything to interest me. The only thing I would say is, like, the villain just seems really cool. Now we got Giancarlo Esposito. Did I say his name right? I think I did say his name right. We had Giancarlo Esposito playing the antagonist in this.
Can't wait for that ball.
Yeah, which is great. But the weapons you get in this game is crazy. So they have one cool weapon where you like take a motorcycle engine and make a rail gun out of that. Which I was like, oh, okay, that's really cool. You get like a powered up nail gun. You get this really cool CD gun where it's like it's playing the Macarena, and every time you shoot it, the CD skips, and you're just shooting CDs at people. I was like, okay, I like that. That gave me a Ratchet and Clank feeling type of immersion to it, I should say. So the weapons and everything looks cool. The atmosphere looks great. The story doesn't look interesting whatsoever. So I'm going to need something more to convince me, but I don't play Far Cry, so I probably won't play this, in all honesty.
Okay, I mean, I understand that. I mean, I'm obviously into it for my main man, Giancarlo Esposito. Right. But, you know, say I haven't played really much of a Far Cry type thing neither. So we got to see how it goes. I mean, I'm not going to lose no sleep over it, but if I'm able to pick one up, I always have to give it a chance, only because of my main man's in there.
Yeah, I hope you, because I know how you feel about first-person shooters.
Yeah, I suck at
them. So I don't know if this will be a better experience for you or not. I don't know. It depends. Mm-hmm. And then we also had another event this week for Dying Light. They showed a great gameplay of Dying Light 2, which honestly, I thought this was supposed to come out years ago. I'm not sure what happened in the development cycle for this, but I thought this was supposed to come out years ago. And to me, this game definitely looked aged. It looks like it's out of its time. Now, I don't know how you feel about zombie games. Personally, I'm tired of it. I am so tired of zombie games. Two, this is also a first-person parkour game, which I am going to feel sick playing this. I'm not sure if you played Mirror's Edge before, but that was a first-person parkour game, and it was just too much movement. And I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I can't do this at all. But the game looks cool. For those who are into it, I say, hey, you know, rock on. But this trailer did nothing for me to get my interest. Now, for the two things that probably kept my attention the most, one of them for the wrong reasons, let's talk about that. Sonic had his 30th anniversary event. And my God, Sonic fans, y'all are just something. Now.
Yes, they are. Oh, yes, we are.
The only thing that would have saved this would have been a trailer of the new movie. That didn't happen. Let me tell you how this event started. It started off by saying, hey, Sonic is coming to these games that you already have. He's coming to the Olympics Games Tokyo 2020 official video game as an avatar. That thing looks disgusting. I was like, what in the world? It literally is a man in a mascot, in a Sonic mascot outfit. And I'm just like, why did y'all put that in there? Then he's in a game. I forget what it's called, but you're like at, I think it's called Two Point Hospital, where you literally just play a doctor and you get to play as Sonic in that. And I'm like, okay. And then is a game called Lost Judgment, where you could go to an arcade and play the worst Sonic game, which is the Sonic fighting game. And I'm just like, what? Sega, what do y'all do that is right when it comes to Sonic? At all. And I'm just like, okay, I'm done. And then they were like, yo, we got some more announcements coming. We got a giant Eggman robot playset that's just like a little toy set. And I was like, okay. For Sonic, we think about video games. Let's get to the video games. Then they're like, oh yeah, well we got a full color hardcover Sonic Encyclopedia from Dark Horse. Okay, let's talk about the games. All right. Do you guys like hip hop? Well, we got Sonic Ice Chains from King Ice. I'm like, bro, you cannot be serious.
From King Ice?
Yes. I don't know what I think King Ice is a brand, but it's literally Sonic Chains. Ice style chains. You know what? I'm not going to lie. The Shadow one actually looked cool. I'll give it to the Shadow one. That actually looked cool. Matter of fact, let me look on this website of the... Oh, no. They don't have the Sonic one available. But the Shadow one actually looked cool. And I was like, all right, I will try that out. And the only game they showed for Sonic was, one, the mobile game. And two was the Sonic Colors revamped, which pretty much is getting remastered. Which is like, okay, a good Sonic game, finally. And then they was like, wait, before we go, we got one more thing to show you. And they just showed a trailer of Sonic running. And then they zoomed out and said 2022. And that's it. And I was like, what was that supposed to do, guys? What was that supposed to do? And then, you know, the internet started blowing up with Sonic fans saying, yes, our king is back. I'm like, how? How? You guys are I'm going to just say it like this. Sonic fans and anime game fans are one and the same. Because we know we're getting bad quality stuff. However, we're just going to keep throwing money at them because that's the only thing we got. Jump Force is not a good game. It should not have been as bad as it was. But a lot of people threw money at it. And they kept making season passes. And they kept... And, you know, they're going to give that company more money because they're bringing more profit in. Because apparently it is selling well. And they think it's selling well. They think it's a good game. And then it got nominated for Game of the Year. Well, Fighting Game of the Year. So it's like... It's dumb.
Me being a Sonic fan, I was like, okay, well, this is a lot. It was a take it yesterday, and I was just like, well, when it comes to Sonic right now, I just care about, is the trailer going to be good, and they're going to make an up-to-date Sonic game. What's the trailer about that? Well, all the other animation stuff, I got Sonic Mania. I don't need to go back to get the other stuff from Sonic.
Right, and Sonic Mania was made by people who usually don't make Sonic games. They were just fans of Sonic games. I was like, okay, that's why it was good.
That's why it was like, what was it? It got the suits out from not being involved in that.
Yep, that's all they had to do. Just get people who cares about the property. And yeah, then you're good. But everyone was betting on the Sonic Adventure 3. Now, no. I haven't played Sonic Adventure 2 in a while. I know that's a cult classic. I'm pretty sure that game is bad, but it's just nostalgia. But I'm not going to sit here and try to argue or anything because I'm one, I just don't feel like it. I'm tired of arguing Sonic fans. It gets nowhere at all. It gets nowhere at all. But let's... Let's talk one more video game, though. One showcase we had a Sony State of Play for Horizon Forbidden West. And honestly, this has got to be one of the most beautiful looking games on Earth. This is probably one of the best looking games I ever see. Almost as good as God of War. I am mind blown. If you get a chance, look at the trailer and like turn the quality to 2160p 4K. It's going to. It's matter of fact, watch it on your TV too. You're going to see it, and it's going to feel different. The game looks amazing. I haven't finished the first one because the story was like okay. Everyone kept saying Aloy is such a great character. I was like, no, she was pretty bland. It was really no personality to her, but sure, okay. It added some cool features. It got a grappling hook now, has a glider, more cinematic feeling combat, which I like. I thought the combat in the first one was a little too boring, where they made it more animated this go around.
Okay, but I mean, it does look visually beautiful.
Oh, by far, this is one of the most beautiful games ever made. Yes, that's the one thing with Sony games. I think they got visuals down pat. With they will always take it a step up when it comes to visuals. Even with the new Ratchet and Clank, which looks phenomenal, I can't wait for that to come out. So yeah, but the game looks great. I don't know if it sold me yet because I'm personally tired of open world games.
Man, anything with PS5 goes. I'll sell you.
I'm just tired of open world games. I'm only tired of open world games because there's a lot.
Uh-huh.
Whereas like Spider-Man, I feel like it's a smallish open world where these are huge. And it's like
it's an open city.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't have the time for all this. I don't have the time to be playing all this and try to explore every single inch of this map. Unlike where I had time with Ghost of Tsushima, because everything was like, that was the pandemic. Everything was closed, and I was like, look, I got no but time. But yeah, that's great. So, I know you're excited about this news. DC has confirmed there's going to be an Injustice animated movie. We didn't get too much information on it. The video game came out in May 2017. And it was made by NetherRealm Studios, which I know we both enjoyed.
Actually, it came out in 2013.
I'm sorry. You're right. 2017 was Injustice 2.
Yeah.
My bad. That was but yeah, Injustice Gods Among Us and Injustice 2. Now I know you read the comics. I know you read the comics.
Oh yeah.
Do you think this is going to take more from the comic or the video game?
Well, it kind of, you know, well, as of right now, if they're going to do a comic, it's 5 years of Injustice. And it's like, well, I don't know if they got the stamina to do this. So I think they're going to go along the way of the video game.
Okay.
And which is the video game and the actual comic are not far off anyway. It's just that the video game it skips the 5 years that happened, and then this is their master plan to get Superman, to defeat the evil Superman.
Right,
but in the comics, we're going through each year,
mm-hmm.
one by one, until we catch up to the point of where the video game was at. But I think we're going to get all the key moments, all the good things that happened in the first Injustice, and I think we're going to probably get a part one and part two,
mm-hmm.
which I think we should get. But I think it'll be a dope animated movie.
Oh yeah, this is one of the anime movies where I think this was long overdue.
Because I've been wanting this, and I'm still going to fight
Kingdom
for them to do Kingdom Come. Like, come on!
Would like to see a Kingdom Come movie. Definitely Injustice. Now I know you said you wanted a two part. I hope there's more, but I feel like I'm asking for a lot for that. I would like to see a movie for each year, personally. Hopefully this will sell well, and maybe WB will realize and try to do that, but it's highly unlikely if they do that.
Yeah, but the fact that it's getting done, because I was like, I don't know if they're going to try to do it in the Snyderverse or the DCEU, but for them to do it in an animated feature, I think that's the perfect way to go.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I think all the DC animated movies were pretty much golden. I can't think of a bad DC animated film.
Well, hold on there. We can if we just take some time.
Probably. But I mean, as of right now,
because there are some DC animated films that are weaker than the others.
Oh yeah, I could definitely see that. But
that new one, that Batman and the Legend of the Dragon with the black guy with the afro in there, that was not that good.
I did not see that.
Yeah, that just came out. I didn't see, but Superman vs. the Elite was not the greatest. I wanted it to be, but it wasn't.
Was that Batman? I'm thinking of All-Star Superman.
Yeah, Batman Ninja was, I heard that wasn't the greatest. That was the anime take on there. Mm-hmm. They dropped the ball, and I don't know how they did it, but they dropped the ball with the Killing Joke.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, the second part of it, which was actually about the comic book, I thought was fine. But the whole way they tried to turn it into a movie, I thought they dropped the ball completely.
It should have been an animated short, honestly. It should have been a 20-minute animated short.
Yeah, it didn't need to be the whole movie. Because that whole movie, that made them completely drop the ball.
Yeah, but I think it was also selling nostalgia. Because it was the same animation team that did the animated series, and it was like, oh my god, this was so beautiful to look at.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Also, a quick thing. I'm not sure if you heard I heard they're making another Batman animated series for HBO Max.
They're gonna bring I did it back. Hear about that.
I actually don't have an article up for that at the moment, but I heard that. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty sure they're gonna go more mature like they did with the Killing Joke on it. If they do, that's cool. I would like to see that. And I would like to see like how they will take on like Death of Nightwing or something like that.
Start over.
You think they'll start all the whole thing?
Honestly,
I don't think they should, because I think we already know the Batman story by now.
Yeah, we do, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. But see, now ain't but so much to go, because now we got the whole Bat family is established,
right?
Now and now to the point, I'm just like, well, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Because then, but of course, you're gonna want to make an animated series where it's just like, okay, well, Batman is the star of this thing, so. But it's like, well, we left off with Nightwing, we left off with Robin, left off with Batgirl. So I'm saying, why don't you start over?
Right.
It don't have to tie in with the Bruce Timm's Batman animated series. Do your own thing.
Right.
Yeah, you can even start with Batman and Robin if you wanted to.
I would rather get away from Batman.
Batman Superman need a break.
Get away from Batman. I'm the whole game Gotham Knights. I would take a Gotham Knights story. I will. I forget what the new Batman sidekick is. The one that I think his name is Duke. He wears yellow, but he's like Batman during the daytime. I forget his name. I would like to see a story with him.
We're saying that because we're nerds. We're diehard nerds. We're combo nerds. But
the money.
Batman sells.
The money speaks.
Yeah, Batman sells to the casual fan.
Right. I don't know if we will have time, but I actually wanted to have a conversation with you about comic books and about comic books, but I don't want to take up too much time if we do that, but we'll see how we go. Now, real quick, before we... Oh, hey, actually, we knocked out a lot of stuff quickly. Yeah. So maybe I'll hop on that, but Eternals trailer. The Eternal trailer dropped. Now, I know you did your reaction. Make sure you go check it out on the Nerd Coalition channel, Nerd Coalition Studios channel. How did you feel about the trailer?
I thought it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I did not know what to expect with the Eternals. I was like, I'm not familiar with the Eternals, okay? Right. And a lot of my Marvel knowledge is on Earth. Okay, so but looking at it, it kind of reminds me of, these are like the extraterrestrials that came and helped shape civilization. Like, right. You ever watch that show Ancient Aliens?
No, I haven't heard of it either.
Okay, so there's this documentary, which a lot of people make fun of, but I'm in documentaries. And the documentary is about illustrating proof that extraterrestrials were here before and they helped us build civilizations. Mm-hmm. And it's now, you know, it has its criticism. And it's not saying that it's taken away from people who believe in God and all that kind of stuff like that. They're actually not saying it. They actually agree with you. But what they're saying is the documentary is basically about how aliens could be the cause for a lot of things that happened back in the day.
Right.
And we could be interpreting it wrong.
Okay.
And so that's what the documentary... So I'm a huge fan of it, and I watch Ancient Aliens all the time. I don't watch it with my wife because all she do is just criticize. I was like, leave me alone. Let me be great.
Let the haters hate.
Yeah. So that's what the Eternals reminds me of.
Okay.
Of this group of people that helped shape the Marvel Universe.
Gotcha.
And nobody knows about them, and they sat back and just watched, and now they're willing to come back.
Gotcha.
And that's what the cool thing about it is for me.
Okay. To me, I felt the same way you felt about Red Dead Redemption. This was the most beautiful, boring trailer I have ever seen in my life. The visuals were on point. But I was like, I couldn't even tell this was a Marvel trailer. If the Marvel logo didn't show up, I wouldn't have known this was a Marvel trailer. This trailer looked like... Okay, here's the purpose. This trailer looked like I Am Number 4. I was like, oh. If I did not see the Marvel name, I would have not known this was going to be a Marvel property at all.
Yeah. So I can agree with you.
Like I said, visuals, scenery, everything else looked great. But this didn't look like a movie where I was like, oh man, I got to see this first day. Or it hasn't sold me yet to get there. Now, this is a teaser, so we didn't get the full, we didn't get everything fully yet. There are a lot of characters. Matter of fact, let me go back into the trailer and see how many that were standing towards the end. Because there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 of these characters. I hope all of them get shine. Because mm-hmm. It looks like we really got 2 of them out of the whole trailer. What we were looking at.
Yeah, you're gonna get the big names of them, but as the group, I'm intrigued. Okay, I'm not gonna sit there and say, "Well, oh my gosh, the Eternals are running to the movies." That's how I feel about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I'm not a space guy. I was more Earth based with my heroes. Uh-huh. So, I'm hoping that they all have. But then on top of it, it's hard to do like arcs and stuff like that when you're dealing with gods and stuff like this. So
right.
But it looks very pretty. It looks very promising. That's what I hope it does. I hope it keeps the commitment of being promising.
I hope so too, because it just didn't hit for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, you know, all right, cool. Now this is going to be a small little topic, because it was a video I saw and I was quite interested. I thought it was interesting. And before we get to the movie experiences, now it was a video about a guy talking about how the comic book industry is failing, and it's kind of hard to believe. Which he was bringing up great points. He says the comic book industry is at the biggest point of his life. Comic book popularity, at least. We got the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which brought billions of dollars. One of the most successful, actually the most successful movie franchise on the planet. We have DC, who made hits. A lot of misses, but we got a great amount of hits on there. However, comic books are failing to sell. Whereas he put mangas and anime are selling a lot more. And he brought up a top 20 list. I forget which top 20 list, but it was talking about mangas and pretty much graphic novel sales. And in the whole top 20, there was not one American comic book that was on there.
Ooh.
Which was like very interesting, because, I mean, it's understandable that mangas are on the rise and all that. But I wanted to get your opinion to see is like, What do you feel like could be this an issue that comic books aren't hitting the mainstream like mangas are?
Well, one, the art of going out to getting a comic book is starting to become dead. Remember,
I do agree. You know what? I do agree, because I was actually thinking that, because if you think about what's the closest comic book store,
there is a. And you're going to have to travel. Now, you can say you got to travel a long ways, but you're going to have to travel a ways to get to, you know, the comic book place. And unfortunately, especially like with the director who tries to sell us on audio comics, where you can just get them and sometimes they can read them to you. You can watch them online. The actual art of going out and going comic book shopping is done.
Right, right.
And unfortunately, like I say, if there's no good story, and it's nothing that you want to pick up, especially it's with the pandemic going on, and people's money is funny, even though this happened before the pandemic even hit, it's hard to be on those weekly titles or those monthly issues of comics anymore. I used to do that when, you know, I wasn't married or very early with my son being young, but as I've gotten older, man, I can't get there every Wednesday to get the new issues.
Yeah, neither can I.
Yeah, and next thing you know, it's passing by. Next thing I know, I find myself waiting for the trade to come out.
Yeah, that would be the easiest ones for me.
Is that, and then when people buy the trades, they're like, why am I bringing this? Some people, not all. Why am I bringing this big book into my house where I can just, you know, read it online? Mm. That's, you know, I think one of the biggest things, you know, there's no local comic book stores no more. There's no local things to do that. And if you can just, you know, if you can do as minimal as possible, then, hey, it's going to hurt the market bad. Like, I'm surprised there's still some comic book stores that's open after the pandemic, because I don't know how they survive.
Same. They had to take a mean loan.
Exactly.
A mean loan. But no,
I mean great point. Now they got the Biden bucks, but I'm just saying, but before then, I'm like, closed up.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You bring up a great point. Now, what I was thinking, because, like, let's say you watch Guardians of the Galaxy. You saw it for the first time. He's like, man, I really want to. Or you watched the Batman movie, you recently watched the Batman movie. You're like, man, this was really good. I want to get into Batman. You go online. Hey, what Batman comic I should read? There are like 7 million issues of Batman, to where it's like you don't know where to start. To where I could go, I could watch season one of Demon Slayer. I could go watch the movie of Demon Slayer, and all I gotta say is where. In the manga, does the movie of Demon Slayer leaves off? Oh, volume 5. And then I could just start from volume 5 and continue. I think the accessibility makes it a lot easier. Whereas, where Western comic books, it's a little bit harder to let go. Because of the characters that sell well, it's hard to let go because they instantly bring in money. Mm-hmm. To whereas Japanese or... Comics in Japan, they take a lot more risk when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it also applies to adaptations, to where the anime is literally a direct adaptation of the manga, where very few things are changed, but pretty much what you're reading is what you're going to see on the screen. Whereas certain animated shows, you're getting a interpretation of their version of this world and this character.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the biggest things that honestly brings the comic book industry down and the manga industry up, is the accessibility of it both. Because I remember I was like, if you go somewhere, hey man, like if you go to Randy. Ask him, hey man, what Superman should I get? Well, you gotta get this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. like it's overwhelming. It's literally overwhelming.
I can agree with you, and he will put me out to some good Superman stuff.
Yes.
So,
and also, Like, with comic books, they literally restart like almost every season, to the point where it's like, even though it says volume one, you still have to know prior information to get to volume one. Mm. Whereas volume one in a manga is literally the beginning.
Yeah, so which I like that too. Also,
it's a lot of changes that I feel like comic books should make. And again, the accessibility, you could go to Barnes & Noble, pick mangas out. Whereas if you just want to get an issue of something, you got to go through the world. Or it's harder to do, you know. But yeah, that was the little topic I wanted to have. I guess
you don't worry about if that's gonna take up some time. Well,
I thought it would be a longer conversation, honestly, but we kind of just we hit it right onto the point. We're just on the stride today. movie experience. Let's take it away.
So here's the thing: I do have standard movie experiences coming to you guys. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to get done at them today, but my situation, I had to take some extra hours. I got to take some extra hours tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna do my best to get up tomorrow or this week. But I won't give like spoilers though.
Okay.
Here. Okay. So I went. I saw Spiral and I saw Army of the Dead.
Now I forgot Army of the Dead came out.
Yeah.
That's on Netflix, right?
Correct.
Okay. And Spiral, I wasn't really interested in the movie. I just mm-hmm. wanted to know how Chris Rock acts, but yeah,
which one you want me to start with?
I would say Spiral, because I'm more curious about Spiral than I am Army of the Dead.
Okay, so when it comes to Spiral, is it the best Saw movie in the franchise? No, it's not. But
oh yeah, because you are a big Saw fan.
Yes, I will tip my hat to Chris Rock because he takes a very bold approach to the Saw franchise, which I think it's kind of cool, which it does turn some people off, but I think sometimes I like certain, like, people don't want social commentary in horror.
Right.
But he brings that in this one, because so now in Spiral, I told you this will be spoilers, it's about dirty cops getting their just due.
Nice. So I was actually wondering if it was about that. I'm glad to hear it is.
Yeah, it's about dirty cops getting their just due. So obviously, people know that John Kramer's traps are about, you know, rehabilitation.
Right.
That's how his whole thing was. And he put you in the traps to help you try to rebuild yourself and make you a better person. So this new guy, John Kramer's not back. He's dead. He has been dead. He's not coming back from the dead. Mm-hmm. This guy is a copycat killer, and I have to say, his voice, because it's like a higher pitched childlike voice like this. When it comes over the audio, it sounds very creepy.
Oh wow!
And you know, and Chris Rock is a dirty cop. He did something that he's been covering up for years. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now all of a sudden, this new Jigsaw killer is taking down his police force, where people look at these cops and look at them as good people and nice people. But when they start revealing the stuff that they done and the dirty secrets that they're holding, they get put in these different Saw traps. Mm. So, and then Chris Rock's dad, Samuel Jackson, is one of the heads that worked in this police department, and he got some dirty stuff on his stuff too. And at the end, the new Jigsaw killer sets Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson up, which I was just like, damn. And it ends so abrupt to the point where it's just like, y'all have to make a sequel. But here's the thing. Saw always ends abrupt, correct? Yeah, we've seen it. Like, we see the door being closed, like, game over. But it's like, it leaves you with that wondering abrupt, like, what the hell is going to happen?
Right.
How do you want to get out of this one? This just ends abrupt to the point where it's just like, wait, no, we gotta finish this actual scene. Like, you know what I'm saying? We ran out of film.
Go home.
Like it's just Chris Rock is still screaming, but I'm not. It's not like he's trapped somewhere. It's just like, yo, something happened, and it's like because the way the new Jigsaw Killer does it is that he gives him an ultimatum. You can either kill me or you can shoot the spiral to save your dad.
Right.
But, you know, he shoots the spiral to save his dad, not trying to answer for the shit that he has done. So, in other words, that was the wrong thing to do. And now his dad is caught in this puppet trap, where he is being pulled like a marionette puppet, right? Mm-hmm. And these SWAT cops are about to bust in the door. And meanwhile, Chris Rock, who plays Zeke, is beating the shit out the guy who's the Jigsaw Killer. But the SWAT comes in there, but as he's being raised up as a puppet, they come in there, guns drawn, and they're like, put your hands up. They don't know that he's being strung up like a puppet.
Oh.
And the hand gets put out, like a knife comes out, and his hand gets put like a puppet, like he's holding a gun. They light his ass up.
Dang.
And it's just like, now you've been set up, because what happens all the time when there's an unarmed black guy and the cops is coming, they just come there shooting. Yep. And then it's the old police that work for Chris Rock, and then he's just like, yo, stop shooting, stop. And it just ends.
Oh.
And I'm like, yo, we gotta finish this scene. Like, what's going on? So it's like, what even happens? Right. You know, and so it's just like, wow. That was, you know, it does have the social commentary, and it does bring back some of the old elements from the original Saw, whereas Jigsaw from 2017 was more of the big budget type stuff, and you can tell that, like, okay, we got a little bit more money here, but this one tries to bring back the older stuff. However, it does go like 100 miles an hour, and I'm like, y'all, we need to take a break. We need to take a break. And a movie where it's more so about detective work opposed to the Saw, because there's not as many Saw traps in this movie.
Okay.
It's only about like three of them.
Gotcha.
And it's just like, but we need to slow down and let some of these scenes breathe a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like tension after tension after tension after tension after tension. And it's kind of like, there's just like scenes where it's like somebody's talking and they're thinking back into the past, and they kind of like walk from their past back into the present. And I'm like, wait, hold on. We ain't finished what we was. Okay. I'll let it slide because it's Saw. Right. Oh, it's in the Saw universe kind of thing. So I gave it a hashtag, give it a chance.
Okay.
I gave it a solid C. I gotta say, do I like it better than Saw the Final Chapter? Yes.
I forgot you hated that.
I hate Saw Final Chapter. And honestly, I think I like it better than Jigsaw. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, there's going to be a slight bias because I'm a black guy.
Right.
So I understand the social commentary. And then, you know, people give it a hard time because it has that commentary in there. And I'm just like, you know, everybody has experiences are going to be different.
Right, right.
But I was like, but how else do you do a Saw film that makes sense? Mm-hmm. You know, they actually put out the opening scene on YouTube. If you ever anybody want to check it out,
I know you did a reaction to it.
Yeah, I was like, whoa! So that was something. I give it a chance. Now for my sleeper hit that I didn't think I thought I was going to hate this movie.
Oh. It's a sleeper hit.
I thought it was because I don't like zombies.
Oh,
I don't like zombie movies. I'm not scared of zombies. I just don't get them.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I don't care for Walking Dead. I don't care for World War Z. I don't care for Night of the Living Dead. I don't care if Shaun of the Dead. I don't care. You know, Dawn of the Dead or all them dumb movies. I don't care mm-hmm. about zombie movies at all. But what happens when you take a zombie movie mm-hmm. and a bank heist and you put them together? That's what this movie is. It's different because this time Zack Snyder puts an interesting case around the zombie, because, you know, zombies are just like mindless creatures.
Yeah, we got to save ourselves. We got to get to point A to point B.
Exactly. They're like just mindless creatures that these, they bite and kill people, and they turn to these mindless creatures. They get killed. But this time, they kind of mix a zombie into an extraterrestrial.
Oh.
There's this big zombie named Zeus, okay, that they are bringing from Area 51. Okay, and right. He's like the alpha. And he's the alpha zombie, but we don't know if he's fully zombie or extraterrestrial, because only he can produce other zombies.
Gotcha.
No, so say if Zeus bites you, right, and you bite me, I don't become a zombie. I'm just dead. Oh. Only Zeus can produce the other zombies.
Okay.
So he decides that after he kills, you know, this military that's trying to transport his body, that he is going to take over Vegas. Because they're right there in Area 51, which makes it Sin City.
Right.
Yeah, so Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, that guy, he's in there, calls on Batista to get a squad together, because he has money in this bank vault that he has at this casino, and he wants Batista and his team to go there and get it, and he'll give them $50 million. And he can split it how he wants amongst his team before they nuke Vegas.
Okay.
But there's an underground thing that's going on with the government, because they don't even care about the money. They want the blood of this zombie, this extraterrestrial thing, because it holds the power to make more of them.
Okay, and of course the government wants to make more.
And they want to have some kind of super army, because right. It's all about power. Okay. And Batista's character and this was actually kind of shocking, because he runs from everything.
Mm-hmm.
He had the accident. He had to kill his wife because his wife got infected.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah. Whoa.
I'm sorry. And one thing I've liked about Batista in his movies and the way he speaks up a lot, Batista is very hard on diversity.
Yeah.
Especially Zack Snyder too. So it's a very diverse team of Latinos and Blacks and lesbians and women and, you know, people of color, and just I enjoy the whole team.
Right.
And it has the, you know, the geeky kind of team, but they have to go in to Vegas, fight off these zombies, and then retrieve the money and then try to make it back safe from these zombies. And some of the zombies that are too dead and mindful stay out in the sun and burnt themselves out. And they made a cool analogy saying that if it was ever to rain, they can come back for about a couple of hours before they dry out again. I was like, oh, that was cool. Oh, I didn't think.
So these zombies get just, like, they literally dry out. Okay.
Yeah, so, and then since Zeus is the head thing, Batista tells everybody who plays the guy, Scott. He says, look, the head shot is the way to take the zombie out. You got to just, you know, destroy the brain, and the zombie can kick out. So Zeus actually wears a helmet to protect him.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? From any kind of this head damage. And apparently he has made it with somebody, and they have like this, like it's like the queen they made, but then they kill the queen and get the head of the queen, because they're gonna try to bring her head back to the government. But she was pregnant at the time, and there's like this little blue fetus that Zeus pulls out. It looks like I don't know if they're gonna explore it in a sequel or not.
Uh-huh.
If he's going to try to create, you know, or repopulate more of these kind of super zombies, because these zombies are smart.
Right.
You know, and the team is also smart, too. One thing I hear about zombie movies also is when you get a team together and they just be stupid.
Right.
They just be going out there, man, and they don't follow instructions. No, this is a team that goes out and does what they need to do. So I'm not going to give away all the movie. The only bad thing that Zack Snyder has is slow motion.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It didn't bother me like Barry Allen and the Flash and Iris. It did not bother me that much.
Yeah, that was too much.
Yeah.
That whole scene did not need to be.
The one thing that bothered me the most about this movie is the runtime.
The runtime?
It's 2.5 hours long. Oh, my
God.
And I'm like, Zach, bro, he do this every time. Like, first of all, I can't find a Zack Snyder movie that is, below 2 hours. Zack Snyder is like a Luther Vandross song. Every Luther Vandross song is, 5 to 6 minutes of woo. And I'm like, you can cut some of this out.
Wow.
And if anybody likes R&B, you can listen to Temptations, you listen to Michael Jackson, and a nice good song can go anywhere from between 3 to 4 minutes. But you pop on Luther, this man is singing so amazing for 6 minutes, and it's just like, bro, you can cut out some of them hoo hoos, and that's how I feel about a Zack Snyder movie, unless it's a director's cut, and I'm like, and. This movie, the runtime, I'm not going to say it takes away from the movie, mm-hmm. but I'm sitting there like, this is a great 2-hour zombie movie, but I don't need this extra half hour.
I totally get it.
I don't need this extra half an hour, and it's making me feel some kind of way. It's really, because I felt it. I was like, I was checking, like, I paused to check the time. Like, okay, it looks like we're close to the end because of how the plot is going. I'm like, we got an hour left?
Dang.
Of what? We in Vegas. Y'all got the money. It's almost like the Five Bloods.
Uh-huh.
55 minutes in the movie, they got the treasure. And it's like, there's another 90 minutes left. You're like, what? But see, that movie said they got to go through some shit to get back, you know?
Right.
This movie, I'm just like, don't tell me y'all about to fight zombies for an hour. We not about to do this right now. We not about to do this. But overall, it shocked me because I don't like zombie movies. I don't. Mm-hmm. And it's good. I enjoyed it. I actually gave it a B+.
Oh, nice.
I gave it a B+. Then once again, my bar is set so low. I say to my review, if there's anybody out there who is like a zombie aficionado who knows about this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. let me know what I'm missing. What, you know, because my bar said, look, I don't watch zombie stuff. So they said, like, well, this ain't nothing. You need to check out this movie. This movie, I'm willing to hashtag give it a chance after seeing Army of the Dead. And I think this one, Batista actually shows his acting range.
Okay. You know,
and Amari Harvick's in there too. And he didn't bother me.
You got me interested in this movie now. I had no desire to see this whatsoever.
Well, that's how I was at the first two, because I was just like, oh, okay.
Zombies are overplayed to me. We had that phase where everything has zombies in it, and I was just like, I'm 100% done.
Yeah, that whole 2012, 2013, 14,
I was like, oh, it was too much.
I was sick and tired of everybody coming to work talking about The Walking Dead every time. I'm like, okay. Like, first of all, Ye did not get out of this city yet.
And I was drinking water. I almost choked.
I just get so pissed. I'm like, yo, when it comes to sound, like, there's just no end to this shit.
Leave.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and I like that the characters have arcs. Each character has a certain arc to them, and they are forced to make certain decisions which I like about the movie, is they are forced to make decisions that are just unfair.
Right.
Like, if they see a couple, like, there's this one scene where, it's in the beginning, where she sees a couple being attacked by zombies in their car, and she tries to go save them, and they're scared out their mind. And she's like, come on with me. And she sees that the husband has a cut on his arm.
Oh.
And she's like, fuck, you're infected. So she has to kill him.
Right.
And it's just like, man, I can feel anything in a zombie movie.
Right.
Because it's just mindless kill action type thing like that. But no, it's really like, he flushed it out. He gave them character arcs. He even gave the fucking zombies arcs. Okay.
Zack Snyder, the one that everyone hated last year, could make a movie that is so well received twice in one half in one of the year.
Because let's see, I'm gonna go look on a tomato meter.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think it's Army of the Dead yet. Yeah, as of right now, for a zombie movie, it's sitting at 69%.
That's not bad. Well, I mean,
for a zombie movie, that's pretty dope. Yeah,
69% is bad, but that's better than I thought.
Actually, it's not, because you're at about 70%. 69% ain't bad. When you hit like 40%,
oh yeah, that's where it's,
and below, because it's what it's saying is 70% of the critics like this movie. That's how you read the tomato meter.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so if it says 69%, it means 60. Because as up here, we got the Google users also. It's 72% like this movie.
Okay.
So for a Zion movie, and Netflix dished out $90 million for them to make this movie.
Dang.
They like I said, for me, once again, I'm not a zombie. I'm telling y'all one more time. I'm not a zombie aficionado. I don't watch zombie movies. I just know what I like. And I think for what Zack Snyder did, for what this movie did, is graphic. And, you know, there's just, there's something they said it had to cut out. You know what I'm saying? And it's bloody. But I was like, okay, that's also what I expect from a Zion movie. But just the way it's done, like, I found myself into these characters, except his daughter. Except Batista's daughter, I'm just like, I never thought I would say that Batista's out acting you right now. I never thought I would say Batista's out acting you right now, and he's carrying this movie. This is like his first movie, because originally James Gunn made a whole role for Batista in Suicide Squad.
Right, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, Batista turned it down. And I can see why he turned it down, because Batista wants to lead his own movie.
Right.
Army of the Dead is his movie. It's his group. He's the one leading the charge. It's his squad.
He's starting to prove more and more that he's becoming a better actor.
Yes.
And the growth in him is astonishing.
Yeah, so I mean, now will you give it a high score like I did? Probably not, but I do recommend you probably go check it out.
Gotcha. I will watch it, and by next week I will give you my review.
Okay, I hope you don't cue flow it and be like, "Yeah, I ain't watched that, John." Man.
No, because you actually interest me in this movie. I had no desire to watch this at all, but you actually interest me in it.
I'll tell you what movie that you should have no desire to see, and you should keep it that way. That's The Woman in the Window.
I never even heard of that.
That was one of the, you know, how Netflix has a new movie every weekend?
Yeah.
Amy Adams is in this movie with Anthony Mackie's her husband. Let's start right there.
Why? Why does Netflix keep hiring him? What is going on?
And she is a recluse. She's somebody who can't go outside. Who's also a child therapist, and there are these neighbors that come across the street, and she thinks she witnessed the murder of one of her neighbors, and it's, the movie is trying to be pseudo deep, and I'm like,
it sounds like Disturbia, but bad.
It is. It's not good. It's going on my list of worst of 2021.
Gotcha.
And I sat back and just watched it. I just wanted to check it out. And I was like, this is not good. And I'm like, but the movie is trying too hard to be too deep.
Scorsese was right. Whoever said Netflix movies don't matter. Yes. Y'all just proving him right, y'all.
Except for, like I said, Army of the Dead. I like Army of the Dead. So yeah. that's a Netflix movie. But when it comes to The Woman in the Window with Amy Adams, and I'm just like, and first of all, Anthony Mackie plays her husband.
I can't picture them two together.
Good, because he barely in the movie.
I got my Marvel check here.
He's barely in the movie. I'm just like, bro, this relationship is not. Amy Adams and Anthony Mackie is like, hey, let's be interracial for the sake of being interracial. There's just nothing with that at all.
I hate when that happens. It's like, let's make a statement. Why?
You can have, it's all right for her to have a white husband. It's right. Fine. You know, say, I understand you want to, you know, mix things up and you want to, you know, I feel you. I'm all with that. Mix them up. But just her and Anthony Mackie don't fit at all. Do you have another black man you could have picked for Amy Adams? That you got to have somebody that compliments each other.
Homeboy that played, he was in Miami, One Night in Miami.
Which
one? The tall, dark-skinned brother. He didn't play Malcolm, and he didn't play, he played a football player.
Jim Brown, the one played Eldridge Hodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so...
That's an Amy Adams type of guy.
Yeah, I can see it. It's kind of like, remember Bird Box?
Yeah.
With Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
And she had to have a relationship with that black guy?
Yeah, that, it looked good. It looked good together.
If there was no cameras rolling, and somebody told me that was Sandra Bullock's man in real life, I believe it. I would straight believe it to the point where... Their chemistry was great. They came off great. Even when they were talking to in interviews, I was like, yo, that's your man. Stop lying. Don't really his kids that you got. Stop lying. You know what I'm saying? That's how I felt. When I just see Amy Adams and Anthony Mackie driving in the car together, I'm like, you must be driving him to his trailer because this is not... This is just not... Y'all can't even breathe right together. Like, this is just not working for me.
And it's so bad for Amy Adams,
because I think Amy Adams is an attractive woman, but like you got to compliment Amy Adams.
I think it goes along with being a good actor too, because it's like you said, a good actor can hold it.
Yeah,
a good actor will be able to hold it, but it's just like, yeah,
yeah. But it's just a black guy to shoot. I was like, this don't. Sell. It's just like literally Anthony Mackie must have been just walking off the set of Falcon and Winter Soldier. He's like, hey, can I borrow you for literally three scenes?
You know, look, man, we only got three. Cut the check.
He better not have said it for this movie. He better not.
Now, if you want the check.
So now, if you want to watch the movie so we can roast it, then sure. I don't mind a good roasting session.
Gotcha.
For it's called The Woman in the Window. It just came out last week.
I will try.
it's not long, like 2.5 hours. It's literally under 2 hours. I think. Because after a while, even look, this is how I know it was bad. When Grace Randolph said she fell asleep twice, I said,
damn.
When Grace Randolph said, I fell asleep twice trying to watch this, Joe, I said, please. Because I swear that she said she won't like this shit.
Oh, man. Well, look, I think that's pretty much all we got for today. We knocked out 2 weeks of podcasts within a good amount of time.
Well, I do want to, because you did put Power Rangers on there.
I am so sorry. We did. I did put Power Rangers on there.
He didn't want to talk about that joint at all.
No, it's not the Switch. Come on now. Oh, by the way, there was a rumor that the Switch Pro might be coming out, which might be called the Super Nintendo Switch. I'm like, oh. We'll see by E3. Power Rangers.
Look, I'm telling you, it may be E3 or it may be this week before E3 so they can get a jump on it.
It will make sense if they do it this week so that they can say, coming to the Super Nintendo. But they better not change the cartridge. It would be dumb if they do like that. If they do it like that. Like the new Nintendo DS. I'm not sure if you remember that era where you had to get a certain game. That was the. I worked at Best Buy. I had to explain to people. And that was the time where they had the Wii and the Wii U, and I was like, yo, it's just, oh my god, Nintendo. Y'all just don't
know. That whole DS cartridge changing shit, I was like, yeah.
It was bad. But Ryu and Chun-Li are out for Power Rangers now, as the Street Fighter, I had a brain fart about the game. As a Street Fighter enthusiast, how did you feel about the characters?
Bruh, I loved them. I loved everything about them. First of all, this is a dream come true. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad, because first of all, the future is bright now. The future is bright on what they can do with N-Wave Studios. There are people out there that's kind of pissed, like, because with a property that has so much rich history in there, such as Power Rangers, we deal with over like 30 years of Power Rangers. And there have been people on social media, which I have read, that have complained about Ryu and Chun-Li coming in the game. I'm going to say, y'all, I want you to understand something.
Like, just accept it, God.
First of all, they didn't just pick two random people to be like this. Let's put them in Power Rangers. This thing has been going on in Legacy Wars, in comic books. This is a thing. Ryu and Chun-Li are Power Rangers.
Right.
But right now, after the low sales of Scorpina, they had to do something.
Right.
They had, because I said, the game is cool. Scorpina is cool. Like I said, like you haven't learned how to use her yet.
Yeah, I still got to learn how to use her. And I think it was also the time, because I forgot that she came out when she came out.
She came out in December, which was so far away after the Season 3 pass was announced at Combo Breaker of 2020. Okay? And then that was in May.
Okay, I was about to say, can you remind me what month?
Okay, yeah, that was May. Now, once again, there is a pandemic. Okay? I understand that. But they used to release a fighter a month.
Right.
RJ was supposed to come out in June. Then everybody was like, okay, Lauren in July, Scorpina in August, and then September we can get the news about season 4. Since we were in a pandemic, and we were in May, we was in the height of that joint. RJ got delayed till July.
Right.
Lauren got delayed till September. However, they released a physical copy in October. So if you had digital, you got her in September. But if you had the physical, you got her in October.
Right.
And then they had to delay Scorpina to December. So it took them literally 7 months to release three characters. It's a long time. Because of the pandemic. And once again, people start, and they kept doing the whole mystery character thing with Scorpina, but everybody knew who it was. And they was like, yo, stop playing these games. Just reveal who the fuck this, who she is, so we can see her face and everything. And the model looked cool and everything, like, look cool like that. And then, but once again, when you're dealing with 30 years of power, you're like, okay, it's another Mighty Morphin fan, another Mighty Morphin Ranger category, which those Mighty Morphin fans are 30 plus years old or 40. Mm-hmm. To get the kids acclimated to the game, or to get the younger people more acclimated to the game, you need to bring out some of the fresher Power Rangers. So what better way to bring some life back into it, because you don't want this game not to get no life. It's too good of a game not to get no life.
Right.
What better way to do that than to add Street Fighter characters to it?
Right.
That's already Rangers, which then all of a sudden, it's like I said, it takes me no time at all. Since I've been playing it last week, since I've been playing since Tuesday when these characters came out, to find a match online. There'd be some days that it's hard to find a match online. It's not because online sucks, because nobody's playing right now.
Right.
So But now, since this thing, it re-brought people into the community, because now the future is bright, because this is not an official season.
Right.
This is they call this the Street Fighter Pack. This is not season four. Season four is going to be doing it. So they already said, we're not done with the game yet, but you got to bring some kind of life into it, because if they had brought Ryu and Chun-Li in during season four, it's like, damn, those spots could have went to Power Ranger characters.
Right, exactly.
You give them their own pack with their own skins, and then you help continue on with the story, and it gives people something to do to get back into the game, and then by the fall, because come July, that's when the Super Edition is going to get its physical release. And then you can make an announcement like, all right, because come the fall, season four.
Right.
And do it, especially since people are getting vaccinated and things are opening up more. And since they've been patching the hell out of this game, they can focus more on content. And then now you can figure out, okay, what will sell to Ranger fans, because you got to keep the momentum going. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the pandemic happened. That was not their fault.
Right.
But now, since 2020 is behind us, now they're doing it. And I think it was an excellent move to bring in Ryu and Chun-Li. And they gave them a lot of love. Especially when you come and you do the inputs. I enjoy the arcade mode. Mm-hmm. I really did. It's harder, but I enjoy a good challenge.
Right.
Because I was like, man, this thing is I had to do it a couple times. I'm not gonna lie to you. I had to do it a couple times. But I was like, but I enjoy it. And what I enjoy is that you have to play as their Clash of 93 skin throughout most of the arcade mode, and they morph at the end. Which also is going to show that in the future, this opens the door for more unmorphed skins.
Right.
You know, for Tommy, Kimberly, Jason, or whatever characters they're going to put in there, because now it's like, okay, they're not afraid to do faces. Let's do it. Type thing. So I've been having fun with it. I've been playing it online. I have been practicing. Me and Swagger practicing. We've been putting the verses up on Level Up. So make sure you guys continue to check that out. Support that. Hopefully he gets to get his hands on Chun-Li or Ryu to try him out when he gets paid next time to buy the pack.
Yeah, I do want to play as them, but I've been having fun. Like, fighting against them, they don't feel out of place.
What you say?
Fighting against them, they don't feel out of place. They feel like they were made special for this game.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, they do play it by their own rules. They do have the input, but it just fits right up into the game mechanics of what's going on, and that also shows that each player in Power Rangers don't play the same at all anyway.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah. Oh man. I love it. I think this is one of the best DLCs they did since season two. The season two pass, but I think was their best season. Their best season.
Who was
before
in season two again?
Doggy Kruger.
Oh, okay, I remember.
Eric Myers and Daishi and the White Ranger skin and the SPD patrol base and the SPD Megazord.
I remember. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So that whole thing was good. And then they keep updating the game. We got new stages. Like I said, the stages are bigger now. Mm-hmm. There's different sound effects. There's different little things they put in there, because now if you type in the game on YouTube now in the algorithm, it says Battle for the Grid Super Edition 2021. So that means it's an official re-release.
Oh, boy. Now we can get Game of the Year.
So hopefully that
it gets nominated, at least.
At least get nominated. First of all, I want IGN and other people to re-review it.
Right.
Because it changed a lot. The game deserves a re-review, but I'm hoping that it gets some love. It's going to be at Comic Breaker again, next Thursday? Mm-hmm. When they do Combo Breaker. So I was hoping it gets some more love now since it's being like a re-release, especially with the physical copy coming out in July.
Right.
And people, like I said, if y'all looking for Rangers, this thing is not done. This thing is going to be worked on for, believe it or not, years to come, because there's no point doing the second one.
Right, at all.
And honestly, you never know. If you keep supporting the game and people keep buying the DLC and stuff like that, they're going to keep adding to it.
Right.
They're going to keep adding to it. And I want, when that whole bottom screen is filled with characters, is when I'm satisfied.
Gotcha.
So, like, we get in there, especially for me sticking with this thing when it first came out, when it was only literally 9 characters in there.
Right.
You went from 9 characters to 23.
In 2 years. That's a jump.
It's a jump.
It's like, I think Fighters, they doubled with all the characters they got now.
The only difference between Fighters is like, bro, can I get like who this last DLC is, like Smash Brothers?
I meant Dragon Ball Fighters. That's the last. They ended Dragon Ball Fighters.
Wait, so there's no Raditz?
No.
Who was the last one?
It was Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta.
Oh, that's right.
And honestly, okay. That was a shock. That was a shock.
Oh, okay. Damn, they still give no love. So they ain't giving no love to Raditz at all. Okay.
Hey, be hopeful because of the 2022 Dragon Ball movie. They said an unlikely character may return. So it could be Raditz. It could be Cooler. It could be Janemba. It could be a lot of characters. I tell you what, it ain't going to be taping.
Okay.
I know that.
And we still got, what, 2 Smash Brothers characters left?
I don't know at this point. I'm going to be real. I don't know. I'm so out of the loop with Smash Brothers. I just like, I literally will play the game for like a week and I'm like, all right, like, I got my fix.
And by the way, I think Ryu and Power just play better than Ryu in Smash Brothers does.
He looks like it, because this is a traditional fighting game.
Yeah, because I enjoy the way he plays so much better.
Yeah.
So much better. Because that shit was irking me in Smash Brothers. I was like, you don't belong here, but sure. I said the same thing, but hey, I have learned to live with it. But yeah, so I recommend y'all go out there and get that DLC. Get the Power Rangers pack and get the update to the whole game, so you can get the three different skins that come, because it is going to be more to come, because I know they're going to give Chun-Li probably a helmetless skin also, and I know there's going to be more skins. There's going to be I don't know any inside news or anything like that, but I can almost guarantee y'all there's going to be another season by the fall.
Oh yeah.
This is the summer right now. They're going to promote Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. Y'all go ahead and face it. And first of all, yo, watch the tournament, Swag, because I have come to the conclusion that I'm not playing this game competitively.
I mean, with Jen, the way you're playing with Jen, I'm like, oh my god. That's why when you tell me, you'd be like, hey man, you gotta play Fighters competitively. I'm like, you gotta watch.
because
a different world when watching fighter players play competitively. It's like, I'm not even gonna get a hit off.
I'm not, because like I said, when it comes to me and Bad for the Grid, I'm like, yeah, I find myself solid when we're facing friends level.
Mm-hmm.
But so I dropped too many combos. And I can't cancel to the point where it's just like, y'all gotta put me down.
All I know is I praise the Lord when you drop a combo. Especially with Jen. I'll be like, oh my. As soon as I see Jen, I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm ready to put the controller down.
Well, Jen and Gia are the only two characters I know. Oh, and some Jason.
Gia I can handle. Jen is like, once you get that jump loop, I'm like, all right. I'll be thinking what Q said.
He said, yeah, I ain't playing no more. I'm not even playing no more. I be sitting there. I'll be in the lab just trying to. I
still crack up at what he said. He was like, damn, this game ain't button mashing enough. Oh my god, I was cracking up so hard. Like, this is the Tekken Master? The game that is button mash?
Man, don't even speak to me about Tekken. Lord.
Tekken is a button mash. If you don't know how to play Tekken, just mash.
Just mash, but I'm saying, because when it comes to blocking, first of all, I hate the three different blocking, the high, mid, low block. I'm like, can't I just block and call it a day?
I would say block and like mid and low are the only ones I would take. Like how Power Rangers is. You get the mid, you get the low. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Like when you add a high, it's like, all right, come on now.
Yeah, you seriously drawing.
But yeah, that's pretty much all for the podcast. Thank you for joining us, Mr. A&E. Where can we find you?
Hopefully, me and a couple of my friends are actually working on a new podcast.
Dag, which one?
So,
my bad. It's not released. It's unreleased.
It's unreleased at the moment. But hold on. There are new things that I want to do for the summertime, mm-hmm. and especially since we're trying to get out of the pandemic, and I want to enjoy the summer opposed to last summer. Mm-hmm. So there's some new projects that I am working on with a certain group of my friends, and when it comes to Swag on Zero also, I want to start going live with this podcast. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how that new format that you found of us going live.
Yeah, we just gotta get the timing right.
I didn't get the timing right. Remember, I told you I want to start doing the different interviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I want to I want to do all that, you know. And so I will try to do that. I want to get the website fixed. I want to get just be on social media because we are close, Sway. We are really close. We are at 803 subscribers.
Oh, yeah, I saw. We're close to 1,000.
For 1,000. I'm like, I'm trying to get there before the 2K news start dropping. I really want to ramp that up. Mm-hmm. And we are, then all of a sudden, Level Up is jumping.
Yeah. I hate editing so much.
So, bro, don't remind me.
It's my fault. Especially with the It Takes Two video, because I wanted to be creative. I wanted to go out and be creative. I was like, ooh, I could do this. And then while I'm doing it, I'm cursing myself out. I'm like, this is why
Don't hurt when you put it up there, you buy this two views. You're like, what?
Honestly, if one person gets enjoyment out of it, I win.
Okay, I'm glad you had him in talk. I'm like, I did all this work. I won. Yeah, you
don't want enough, though. Where my check at?
You know what I'm saying? That's what I want.
That's the way I see it. If one person got entertained by it, that's a win for me.
Well, whoop-de-doo, bro.
If I made someone smile watching that vid, then, hey, I'm all good.
But yeah. You can find us. I'm not going to say the Instagram and Twitter because I plan on actually revamping those. So, you know, we need a refresher. So,
right.
Stay tuned for it. You can find me working on this shit. Okay.
Yeah. Level Up. Hopefully, I'll have more. There was a new My Hero mobile game, and I downloaded this program that lets you play mobile games on a computer. So, I want to try that out because this looks like a good open world My Hero game, and I'm like, of course it doesn't come out for the system. But hey, I want to try that out. Hopefully I can get it right. We'll see. But yeah, It Takes Two, more of that. Knockout City, I have a couple more. God, that game is fun. But I have a couple more before the trial is up, and then I really can't wait till Ratchet & Clank comes out. Honestly,
that comes out when?
The 11th, your birthday.
Oh, right.
That comes out the 11th. Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate comes out on the 11th. I'm like, why y'all do this?
So I'm, in other words, I know I ain't gonna see you that day.
Oh no, you are. Like, I mean, other than work. So if you have, if you're doing something at the work, I mean, I'll come over. But it's like, dog, why y'all dropping so much good stuff on the same day?
Oh, bro, don't because Loki gonna be the 11th too.
No, it's the 9th now.
Oh, they push it up.
Yeah.
So okay.
At least Disney heard me, you know. But because I want to play Final Fantasy Remake so bad again, in 60 frames per second. Because I was gonna say I don't want to get into that. But 60 frames per second and 30 frames per second is a big difference. Some people say they don't know the difference. I'm like, play Miles Morales.
I felt it with
Miles Morales. I was like, why is this stuttering? And then I switched to the 60. I was like, oh yeah, that's smooth. It was like butter going on toast.
Yeah, spread butter.
Yeah, yeah. Jelly. Let's do jelly. Jelly on toast. It was smooth. But yeah, you'll know where to find us. I gotta run to the bathroom. But yeah, Q Flow, wherever you are, take us out.
Gotcha.
Bringing nerdgasm to your ears. Welcome to the show. We don't need any gimmicks, you already know. So sit back, relax, and hit the like button. Go and share with your friends and keep the likes coming. Swag on trivia and prompts top five. Either way, it's fun and you're hearing it live. Join with your host, Mr. A&E. Yeah, you know it's the place to be, SNC.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.